Welcome to Trailblazers, where we explore the inspiring journeys of entrepreneurs and industry leaders who are redefining success and making a lasting impact. These game changers are driving progress in our region and around the world. I'm Melody Bradford, your host. Welcome to Trailblazers on WDIY 88.1 FM. I'm Melody Bradford, and today I'm honored to speak with someone who stands at the crossroads of tradition and innovation in Catholic education. Dr. Dean Donaher is the principal of Bethlehem Catholic High School, fondly known as Becca High. Dr. Donaher is a lifelong educator, a leader rooted in faith, and a visionary steward guiding Becca High as it approaches its centennial. He's devoted to academic excellence, spiritual formation, and preparing students to serve, not just succeed. Today, we'll explore his journey, the evolution of his school, the challenges facing Catholic schools today, and what's next for Becca High. Dean, thanks so much for being here.
Well, Melody, it truly is an honor and a pleasure to be here with you today.
Let's go back a little. Help me to understand your roots. Where did you grow up and what inspired you to pursue a career in education? You had some pivots, didn't you? Talk to me about that.
Yeah, a couple pivots, but I was born and raised in Philadelphia, attended Holy Name of Jesus Elementary School, which was in the Fishtown section of Philadelphia. Some people know that area.
Okay.
We had Immaculate Heart nuns and priests of the Dominican Order. Grew up there, stayed till eighth grade, and then ninth grade, we moved back to Bethlehem, which was my dad's hometown. So my mom, dad, and I moved back, and the decision was made at that time that I would not enter Bethlehem Catholic, which some people thought I would. Mm. But based on actually the advice of a good friend who was also a priest, that it might be better for me to go to public school at the time. So I went to Brockle and then Liberty High School and then graduated and went to Moravian College. Worked in business and industry for about 10 years, but always had this great desire to teach. I liked education. I enjoyed, to a certain extent, we say the game of school. I enjoyed studying and learning. And I really had a lot of respect for the teachers I had, both back in elementary school, the nuns that helped form me, but also some of the teachers I had at Brockle and Liberty High School. So that gave me the desire to go back to school, actually, having graduated from Moravian in 1975. To go back again and get a second degree in 1985, because what I really wanted to teach was mathematics.
Oh.
So I went back and got a second degree. I had a degree in 75 in history and business, but wanted to get a degree in mathematics. So I had to go back and did that while I was working, and then graduated in 1985, and that started my career in education.
And so you started as a classroom teacher. And over time, then you moved in. Well, let me back up, actually. Classroom, where were you? Where were you teaching at that point?
Sure. My first appointment as a teacher was at Freedom High School. And
okay.
I was taking the place of two teachers that were both on maternity leaves at the time as a math teacher. And that lasted for a year. And then both teachers decided to come back part-time. And because of the position I was in, I lost my position. But Mr. J, who was the principal of Freedom at the time, who has been a very good mentor and friend, he suggested I go up the street from Freedom and talk to Don Fellner, who was the director of the Bethlehem Area Vocational Technical School.
Mm-hmm.
And at that time, VOTEC was starting their own math program. They were taking the math from the sending schools, and they were actually teaching it at the VOTEC in a full math curriculum. So I was fortunate. I got in on the ground floor with, I think, three or four other math teachers, and we wrote the curriculum for every class that we had at VOTEC, and that lasted for 4 years.
Mm.
So the year at Freedom and then the 4 years at VOTEC got me to a point where I had the 5 years necessary to maintain or to attain a public school secondary principal certification, which I got my master's from Lehigh in 1988, and my principal certification in 1990 when I completed the 5 years of teaching.
Mm. So at any point, had you ever taught in a Catholic school environment, or was at that point just public school?
No, it was all public school.
Public school. Okay.
All public school.
And so then you went into administration. Talk to me a little bit about, you know, how you became a principal here at Becca High and what motivated that journey from teacher to administration.
Well, when I received my certification to be a principal, I was working at the VOTEC at the time, still teaching and not really seeing anything at that point as far as administration, but got a phone call in the summer from Tom DeLucio. Mr. DeLucio was the superintendent in the Bethlehem Area School District at the time. He was also the superintendent of record for the vocational technical school. And my paperwork was going through, having now finished all the requirements to be a secondary principal. He asked me to come down to his office. And I said, sure. And he said, just come on down right now. And I was this summertime. I was doing some paperwork at the VOTEC and went down thinking that he was going to sign my certification, you know, verify the fact that I did the work, and only to find out that he actually called me down to offer me a position.
Oh, wow.
A one-year possibility. There was a transition happening at Liberty High School where Mr. Burkhart, who had been director of secondary education, was moving on to be an acting principal. And wanted to know, Mr. Lucio wanted to know if I would mind kind of occupying his chair until a decision was made as to whether Mr. Burkhart's transition to Liberty would be permanent or whether the person taking a sabbatical at the time, Mr. Ruggiero, would come back. It all played out that Mr. Burkhart did stay as principal, but I understood from the very beginning that I couldn't sit in that chair longer than 1 year because I was my first administrative position. And this person was actually in charge of all the secondary principals in Bethlehem. So I knew that was a short-lived position, but it was a great opportunity for me to see the district from another angle. And at that point, then I did start to put applications in for being an assistant principal at a high school. I landed one at Brandywine Heights High School in Berks County for about 9 months. And then Bethlehem went back to additional high school principals, and I applied and was rehired back in the district as an assistant principal at the high school level, Liberty and Freedom.
Okay. Wow. And so how did you get to Becca High?
Worked in the district and finished in 2015 after 30 years.
Wow.
And finished as the director of student services, which was like my last 9 years. I had been assistant principal at Freedom and at Liberty. In fact, one position I was assistant principal at both schools at the same time. I'd spend a day at Liberty, a day at Freedom, day at Liberty, day at Freedom. And then I was principal of Liberty High School about 21 years ago, 2005, 2006, 2007, when Mr. Burkhart retired. For 2 years, we built the annex now that's the Student Activity Center. Our freshman class was down at the old Northeast Middle School and then transitioned into central office work. Retired in 2015, took about a year, year and a half of retirement, if you will, became a little bored with that. But I was fortunate and blessed that I was elected to the Bethlehem School Board in 2015. And served actually two terms and finished in 2023. Wanted to stay active in education, so I was a board member for two terms. But I got bored. I was home, and yeah, I was on the school board, and that was nice. And I was joining groups like the Knights of Columbus and other Ancient Order of Hibernians, which is an Irish men's, Catholic Irish men's group.
A little golf in there, maybe backstroke? No.
Once in a while, but not as much. No, I try to keep busy, but an opportunity came to me. Someone suggested, why don't I run for state representative?
Okay.
It was something I had never thought of, And I'm always excited to try something new. So I thought, why not? So I ran for state representative. Took about a year and a half when you do all the work coming up. And unsuccessful. Did not get elected. But really met a lot of nice people. And that parlayed itself into an opportunity with the United Way of the Greater Lehigh Valley as their labor liaison. And that was a challenge, again, learning something new. I had never been a fundraiser. I never knew what all went into that. My wife was very much into that line of work. But I never really took that as serious until getting the job at United Way. And I did that for a couple years. And out of the blue, one day in April, I get a phone call from a high school friend of mine, Jack Spurk. Jack is a Liberty graduate as I am, same class. His children went to Bethlehem Catholic, but Jack called and said, would I be interested in cutting back into education? That the principal of Bethlehem Catholic was resigning, who actually had been one of the assistant principals with me when I was principal of Liberty.
Oh, wow.
And wanted to know if I was interested in coming out of retirement. And I didn't even hesitate. I said, absolutely. You know, what do you need? So we scheduled an appointment for an interview. And I kept getting phone calls every morning from the secretary of the board asking if I was still ready. And I said, yeah, absolutely, until the day before the interview. And got another phone call later in the day informing me that the interview was going to be canceled. And I was just curious as to what. And evidently there was an employee at Becca who had been there for years who they had asked if he wanted to be principal. And he had said no a number of times, but I guess they went back one more time and said, you know, we just want to make sure. And at that point, the person said, okay, I'll take it. And that was that. And I said, that's fine. You know, if you got the person you wanted, that's all. You know, they always say, if you want to make God laugh, tell him you made plans. And I was making plans thinking maybe this chance of an opportunity. And when it didn't come through, I thought, that's okay. And it was about a year to the day that first phone call came through that I got a phone call from the same person thinking it had something to do with one of our organizations, Knights of Columbus, or whatever, only to be told that the person they hired, it wasn't a good fit. Mm. And they were leaving in the middle of April. And would I still consider perhaps coming out of retirement again to get back into education? And I said yes. And it took a couple months because I know they wanted to do due diligence and see if there were other folks that were interested maybe in the position, either in the diocese or at the school. That didn't happen, but they did interview other people for the job. And fortunately, I think it was the 17th of July in 2023, I got the phone call that would be my first day at Bethlehem Catholic.
Okay, so 2023, right? Mm-hmm. So at that point, we're sitting on the brink of a new election, right? Mm-hmm. And there, I'm sure, was just some questions around, you know, like how things are evolving in the education space, but also mm-hmm. Catholic education in and of itself, right? You're going from what historically had been for you, you know, in the public sector, mm-hmm. But then transitioning over to the Catholic education sector. Now, granted, you're a man of faith your entire life, it sounds like. So were you fearful of that opportunity a little bit? I mean, did it energize you? Like, talk to me a little bit about that, because as you know, as we're pulling on the audience from Trailblazers specifically, you're presented an opportunity, you're ready to take the leap, you're excited about it. But was there any hesitation? Like, talk to me a little bit about that.
I don't think there was hesitation as much as there was, I'm going to have to reprogram a little bit. Mm. I mean, I really felt this was God calling me to do something special in some way. Mm. But what I had to realize is I spent 30 years on the other side of the fence. Mm-hmm. I will guarantee you that when I was going as principal, or even I would go to games at Liberty, and I'm rooting against Bethlehem Catholic. I'm rooting against that. I mean, I'm rooting against every team that's playing Liberty at the time.
Right.
But there was always that, you know, that idea that, oh, well, those kids this or those kids that, whatever the idea at the time was about students in Catholic school. Mm. And what I realized very quickly when I got to Bethlehem Catholic is that that's not necessarily true. What we tend to think of Catholic school students, their parents. I see the sign a lot when we play football games, how students in the other team, and we do it, we put banners out. And there's a banner that I see a lot from the other teams that says, God loves us for free, alluding to the fact that students have to pay to go to Bethlehem Catholic, which gives you the idea that all those parents are wealthy, that they have money, that they can afford to pay their taxes, which they do, and pay for their child to go to school. And God loves us all for free. But what parents are doing sending their children to Catholic school is they want them to have that daily reminder, whether it's Mass, whether it's a theology class, whether it's just the way that the school saying prayer before grace when you have the cafeteria. That's what they're looking for. It's not better. It's just different. It's mm-hmm. it's a different area that parents are looking for something a little different in their education, smaller school maybe, but it is a financial hardship, and some parents sacrifice a lot to send their child to a Catholic school, whether they're, you know, full tuition or whether they're getting scholarship for need-based, and all of our financial aid is need-based. There's no scholarships for any kind of sport or any kind of activity. You're based on your need to go to school. And even parents that are, you know, getting some scholarship funds, it's still a hardship because they don't make the money that some other folks do. So, mm-hmm. but I had to reprogram myself not to have these preconceived ideas of what it was like and what it's like for parents of public school versus Catholic school students.
Breaking down those perceptions, I mean, that's a really good point. You know, so my next question is about the challenges of Catholic education, whether it be financial, cultural, demographic, mm-hmm. because I think that there is a perception that exists that, you know, if you don't have enough income, or maybe you're on the brink, right? Maybe the analysis, the financial analysis might say, oh, they can pay this. But at the end of the day, when they're, you know, the parents are presented with what the financial plan is, they know on a day-to-day basis it's going to be a sacrifice, because what the analysis didn't present is that there's all these other, you know, things that aren't reporting, so to speak. Mm-hmm. For a parent like me that has either a high school student or an elementary student, what challenges are you facing, and what advice would you give the parents coming in that are maybe considering that as an option?
Well, the first advice I would give them, and it's a kind of a mantra we have at school, is don't say no, N-O, until you know, K-N-O-W, whether or not you can afford or what your tuition might be at Bethlehem Catholic. Now, it would be great if everyone was, as we say, a full payer, pay the mm-hmm. full tuition. But we know that's not the case. So I would just say to parents, before you say, oh, can't afford Catholic education, talk to us and see what we can do. The other thing is, you know, we rely or trying to increase the amount of money that we're getting through EITC.
EITC, you know, for those that don't know what that is, can you explain that real quick?
Educational Improvement Tax Credit. Mm-hmm. So it's the ability for a person to divert their state tax to Bethlehem Catholic rather than to go to the state itself. And it's a process where you get 90% of it back at the end of the year. And then I'll use the name $1,000. You would donate your state tax of $1,000, which you have to pay somewhere, whether you pay it to the state or pay it to Bethlehem Catholic and EITC funding. You would designate that $1,000 to Bethlehem Catholic. At the end of the year, when you get your tax return, you'll get $900 of that back. And then what we would ask is you take another 100, add it to the 900 that you got back, and give another 1,000. So, and then you get 900 of it back, and you put another 100 to it. So in the case of 3 years out of pocket, you've given basically $1,200, but Bethlehem Catholic has gotten $3,000. Mm. And over time, especially if your state tax is $10,000 or more, that number really builds up. And then we can use that money to support students who qualify. You have to qualify to receive EITC funding. You just don't get it because you go to Catholic school. You have to complete paperwork, and then you have to meet certain requirements. But what it does is it helps Bethlehem Catholic then take Bethlehem Catholic funds that have been donated to us and not use them for scholarship funds. We can use the EITC money for that. We can use the money that's donated by other people to, you know, redo our bathrooms or mm-hmm. to do something for the
launch
betterment
a program,
of all the
sure.
schools, academically, spiritually, whether it's our campus ministry program. We can kind of use that money to do that. And the more we would get in EITC funding, the more we would have of our Bethlehem, I'll use the word Bethlehem Catholic funds to support programs in the school.
And so can anybody do that if there's a state tax that's due? I mean, is that only for corporations?
No,
or can it be individuals as well?
You're right. It's individuals and it's corporations.
Okay.
In the past, it was strictly corporations, but individuals now can do it as well. And I just say, if you have any questions, please go on our website. Tom Vresix is our advancement director. Mm-hmm. Please contact Tom. He can give you all the information that you would need for that. And it really is quite helpful for us to increase the amount of money we're getting in EITC.
Well, not only that, but I mean, you know, if there's a tax liability there and you want it to go to a good cause, that's a great opportunity for any individual. How do you see the landscape of secondary education changing, and specifically the role of Catholic schools in that new ecosystem?
It's changed a lot. I mean, I look back to 1985, and the one thing that I believe, and I'm just speaking personally here, that I think has really hurt the Catholic school program are our public charter schools, whether mm-hmm. they're virtual or whether they're brick and mortar. And I say that because when I worked in the public system, what it cost the public system was money, because now the school district has to pay basically the average cost of attendance for their school. So if the average cost of attendance at Bethlehem School District is $14,000, and I'm just picking a number off the top of my head, mm-hmm. then that public charter school just says to Bethlehem School District, I want $14,000 for that child to come to school here. But where it's hurt the Catholic school system is it's hurt them in enrollment, in children. Because I'm sure, and again, this is, again, personal opinion, I'm sure there are parents who are sending their children to public charter schools who, if there were no public charter schools, would be sending them to a Catholic school. Mm. Because they, for some reason or other, they just don't want them in the traditional district school, whether it's an elementary school or a high school. So I see that as being something that has really kicked in and has hurt the Catholic school system. The other thing is just the number of Catholic schools that, and I say this to our students because I try to meet with kids on a regular basis, and I quiz them a little bit about the past, because some of our benefactors want to see Bethlehem Catholic be what it was in the 1960s and 70s, mm-hmm. where there were 800 students in the school, and that's really not going to be the case. And the reason is, I think of schools like St. Ursula's. I think of St. Simon and Jude, Holy Ghost, St. John Capistrano, St. Teresa's in Howardtown. Those were all thriving Catholic elementary schools that would automatically send 25 to 30 kids to Becca every year. Mm-hmm. And I would say to the kids, our kids now, what do you think all those schools have in common? And they'd look, and I said, they don't exist. Mm. There's a church there, but there's no school. So the number of schools that we have as feeder schools
has shrunk drastically.
I mean, we basically have eight feeder schools. Two of them are what we call exclusive feeder schools. That means only I can go in and try to ask students to come to Becca. And that's Notre Dame of Bethlehem mm-hmm. and Holy Infancy. Mm. Now, we do share St. Anne's with Notre Dame Green Pond. We share Our Lady of Perpetual Help. We share St. Mike's down in Coopersburg. We share St. Isidore's, which is down in Quakertown. I mean, we share a lot of these schools with Central Catholic, with Lansdale Catholic, with Notre Dame. Mm-hmm. But the number of schools that we have that used to just feed kids to Becca every year has really shrunk. So we're trying to do what we can as a high school to encourage parents to do the elementary level. And then as they come through the elementary level, to perhaps then continue into the high school. But I really believe the public charter school program has really decimated the attendance. Again, the public schools, it costs money, every child. But the Catholic school, it's actually cost their children. There aren't the kids in school anymore.
But even despite all of these changes, Becca still has quite the reputation. You know, your mission emphasizes faith, leadership, and service. And you're known for academic program excellence. You're also known for a very robust football program. Talk to me a little bit about how you integrate the Catholic identity into every part of school life, academics, student formation, community. And talk to me a little bit about those programs, college prep, honors, AP vocational, technical, even virtual courses. Talk to me a little bit about that, because you guys are also pretty innovative too.
We try to be, but we have to remember that our foremost goal is to create servant leaders in the image and likeness of Jesus Christ. That's why we exist. Providing a great academic program, providing a competitive athletic and extracurricular program, our debate team, our scholastic scrimmage, you mentioned football. For some reason, when I took the position, there was this idea out there that Becca was the sports school. It's all we cared about. And yes, we competed at a very high level in our athletic program, which we've done for forever, as far as I can understand. But that's not why we exist. We exist to create servant leaders in the image and likeness of Jesus Christ. And that's where we are really focused fundamentally, academically, socially, emotionally, mental health. Everything we do focuses on that one thing of honoring our Lord and Savior.
And I imagine you receive quite a bit of support from the diocesan level. Can you talk to me a little bit about how you integrate with the diocese in order to be able to provide all those services?
Sure. Diocese does provide emotional support, some financial support, although majority of it comes from our parents and donors, benefactors, which is very much appreciated. They do support us through sponsoring activities that we do. This Saturday, we have a youth rally that's going to be at Bethlehem Catholic. I think right now we have maybe 180 middle school and high school students that are going to come. It's the first youth rally that I'm aware of in many, many, many years here in the diocese. And we're really excited to put this on. We want to see what this is like. It's like 10 to 4. Bishop Schlert's going to celebrate Mass at 4 o'clock with the kids, and really looking for a great day. It may be raining, but you know that's okay. If it's not, we'll be outside a little bit too, games. But eventually, again, spiritual formation. We had a confirmation gathering of students a couple weekends ago where we had about 35 students on a Saturday at school and had different priests with us doing the confirmation retreat. So it really does focus and get our kids to focus, and it's a calming influence. We do Mass twice a month for all school Mass, but yet Father Isaac, who is our chaplain, it's his second year at Bethlehem Catholic, he does Mass every morning in our chapel for any faculty or staff or students that want to come. It's a quick Mass. He always promises he's not going to give a long homily. It's a 20-minute Mass, but it's a good chance way to start the day if when you can.
That's awesome. As you look ahead, what strategies are you leading to recruit and retain students, and how are you staying motivated to kind of push forward on that and stay energized as principal?
Well, we try to do everything we can to invite and attract kids to come to Bethlehem Catholic. We actually focus, obviously, on our feeder schools. We would like to see more of them come to Becca. But again, as I said earlier, you know, the number of those students is somewhat declining. We are trying our best, though, by having different events, trying just to get the word out that, you know, we are, as I said, one of the other rumors I heard when I started was, well, Becca's closing. They're not going to make it. Their numbers have gone down. Numbers have gone down, no question. I think numbers have gone down all over. We are starting to see a rejuvenation of numbers in Catholic education throughout the country, but probably will we ever get back to being an 800 students at one time roamed the halls at Bethlehem Catholic. Will we ever get back to 800 students? Probably not, but I would love to see us somewhere between 550 and 600. I think that would be good for us. It would be a good solid, to be small enough to be impactful in their lives, because sometimes you get into situations where schools are so big, and sometimes that's what the parents looking for, is something smaller. As I tell students, when I was principal of Liberty, we had 900 students in the freshman class. We have about 430 students in Bethlehem Catholic right now, 9 through 12. The kids know each other. They get to know each other as family. We get to know them. Their teachers get to know them really intimately. It's really, really important that we know our kids, we know them well, but that they know us as well, that they respect us, they know us, and they see it's a family affair. It's a family community that we're culture that we're trying to build.
It sounds like a bright future ahead under your leadership, especially as you approach that centennial anniversary. That's incredible. Dr. Donaher, this has been a deeply inspiring conversation. Thank you for sharing your journey, your heart, and your vision for Bethlehem Catholic High School. What you're building at Becca High, academic excellence rooted in faith, leadership founded on service, is exactly the kind of trailblazing work our communities need. To our listeners, whether you're a parent, educator, alum, or someone who cares about the future of Catholic education, I hope this conversation reminds you that schools are more than buildings. They are homes of formation, places of belonging, and engines of hope. Thank you for joining us on Trailblazers. I'm Melody Bradford, and you've been listening to WDIY 88.1 FM. Until next time, keep leading with purpose, dreaming with courage, and investing in the next generation. Thanks again, Dean.
Thank you, Melody.